Oh, baby, I can't even look at you. I can't even look at you right now, baby.
Listen, baby, I can't look at you.
I'm sorry. I'm too tired to look at you. I've been on the road. I'm in the United States of America. I'm in Los Angeles. I'll be more specific. I'm in Hollywood, baby. Woo! I walked down Sunset Boulevard last night. It was late at night, and I was walking down Sunset Boulevard. Woo! And I think there were men cruising. I think that several men tried to cruise me. I don't know if that's a cruise spot, but a couple times people circled around to have a look. They didn't know my comedy. But I had a couple of fellas drive by, window down, looking at me. I don't know if with my long hair and my bulky frame, I look like the sort of person Eddie Murphy might have given a ride home to many, many years ago.
I'm having trouble looking at you.
I can barely look at anybody, let alone set up a camera in a room and talk into it. I did the Hollywood Bowl last night. It was a real joy. This is a bit scattershot. This is the first pod back. I've been so tired. Listen, baby, I've been so tired. I've thought about just... Maybe I should stop before. Maybe the audience, I shouldn't call you baby. Other people have a collective noun for their audience, and baby. Hey, baby. Feels right, feels good, but I'm not going to do that. Baby is reserved for my wife. I won't call you. Ow, I've hit my foot on a couch. Anyway, I go out and I perform, and I did well. It started out at the mothership. And it was wonderful being back at the ship with all those wonderful people, the comedians and audience members alike, and the staff. And I didn't know if I had the hour. I was doing an hour. I was doing a weekend. I was doing an hour twice a night. And I didn't know if I had the hour, and the hour came together. But the mental work of, like, you know, not knowing it's going to work and really on your feet and listening to the crowd. And eventually you get to settle into the act. But I was figuring out on the fly what I was going to be saying up there. And it was so exhausting that by the end of some of the shows, I found myself telling my jokes, looking at the floor. And I realized I'd reached a point of mental exhaustion that, trauma would be too much of a word, but I couldn't look people in the eye. And I thought, this is where celebrities get to, where they have to start, you know, the celebrities, they wear the sunglasses indoors because it's just, they've been looked at so much and looking at people so much. And I started to think about diva-ish behavior and behaviors that, you know, oh, it's very diva-ish, but maybe those are learned behaviors that help people survive in a sick and broken world. Oh, yes, there's no justification I won't make for my blossoming diva-ish nature. It's great to be here with you. I just could not be bothered. I cannot be bothered. I think it's better if Sam Clarke does a visual element anyway. You know, Sam Clarke's better at doing the visual element. Even if I'm not in it, it'll be so much nicer than just me setting up a camera in the room. So we may as well. And what a room it is. I'll tell you everything that happened to me since I flew out here to the United States of America. I think I did a Patreon with some of it. Well, we'll skip some of it. I'll tell you what happened. I flew out of Austin and I went to Albuquerque. I loved Albuquerque. Didn't go to the downtown of Albuquerque because everybody told me, hey, it's a war zone. And they were serious about it in a way that they're, you know, there's a little tongue-in-cheek when people talk about even Los Angeles or Austin. People go, oh, wow. But in Albuquerque, they said, don't go. It's a war zone. So I said, okay. Okie dokie then. Albuquerque was great. CJ and Fuzzy, they were my openers at that time. We drove on past Hotel El Rancho. Long-time listeners of the podcast will know my long-time appreciation for Hotel El Rancho. The convenience, what is it? Oh, man, I'm going to forget it. Something of today, something of tomorrow. Convenience of tomorrow? The charm. I think the word charm gets used. Oh, I wish I had that programmed in me so that I could never forget it. And yet here I am, having forgot it, having to look it up. The convenience of the charm of yesterday and the convenience of tomorrow. That's what I think it is. Unable though I am to get any Wi-Fi. That's odd. Well, then I'll go back through the telephone if I can't go back through the Instagram. The charm of yesterday? Is it the charm of yesterday? I think it was the charm of yesterday. I think I had a big reaction to the charm of yesterday. Charm of yesterday. Convenience of tomorrow. We got it right. There is no convenience like the convenience of tomorrow. There is no charm like yesterday's charm. And we drove on, and we got to Phoenix, and the hour came together in Phoenix. Sorry to everybody who saw it before then. It's together now. I got the order. It was really lovely. It was really lovely. You know, the people of Phoenix are wonderful people. Wonderful people in Phoenix, as my career did rise from the ashes in Phoenix, and the hour did come together. Oh, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I'd never be able to talk to this way if you could see me right now. It's only being invisible. I've put on sunglasses. I'm walking around barefoot in a living room. Ah-ha-ha! In a house where I'm completely alone, surrounded by Uber Eats boxes. Ah-ha-ha! Ah! I played the Hollywood Bowl last night opening for the great Shane Gillis. Oh, everybody was wonderful. Shane was fantastic. Ron White, fantastic. Sam J, fantastic. Dan Soda, fantastic. Jim Jeffries, fantastic. What a night of stars. I didn't know about the Hollywood Bowl. And also, to my eyes, I mean, they've already got the Greek Theatre. I don't understand why they have... I guess you can, when you're a city of this many people, you can have two, forum-style Greek theatres built into the Rocks amphitheatre. Anyway, it was really lovely. It was classy. It was a dignified. I had a great time. And, Yeah, I had to go on first. And I'm glad I did. It was great. It was really great. But I was, we've never had liquid in the guts like that before. We've had some pretty liquid guts in our time, but that was something special and beyond. We won't go on and on about it. And every day, you know, I want to do the podcast. Thank you to Darcy for stepping in on that last one. I don't remember if I organized that or said that was okay, but I was happy to see it. I think I gave a thumbs up to that. I don't think the show is being stolen away from me. Gee, Darcy's very, isn't he something? Isn't he very good? Thank you, Darcy. Oh, now, sweet listeners, I tell you. Ow, I've hit my foot again. Oh, it's not, oh. Squarespace. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform designed to help you stand out and succeed online, as opposed to all those other website platforms that are there to help you blend in and fail. In real life, whether you're just starting out or scaling your business, Squarespace gives you everything you need to claim your domain, showcase your offerings with a professional website, grow your brand, and get paid all in one place. I just love the analytics that... I actually don't have to read this bit in a fake way because I have a Squarespace, and I do love the analytics that Squarespace provides. I spend hours watching to see if anyone has visited my website. Well, they've written that, but that's also true, and I wish I didn't do that. All right, fine. The video integrate... You too can ruin your life by spending hours a day checking the analytics and seeing if you're going up and down rather than making quality content or being able to set up a camera. For the love of the Lord, if we could set up a camera, just imagine what the analytics would do today. It's impossible to imagine this one going as well as it would if I was in the camera, although I think Sam Clark will no doubt do a remarkable job getting it all together. The video integration that you can make part of your website on Squarespace is so professional. Too professional for this pod. So we just use YouTube. What the heck does that mean? It's their copy. Squarespace is so good for building an online store that designs and templates make it easy. Great. Go to squarespace.com/catamaran for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code CATAMARAN to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's offer code CATAMARAN at checkout to save 10% off your first purchase or of a website or domain. There we go. And thank goodness we don't have to do any more ads after that, except for this one. Ridge Wallet! How annoying is it that all your devices have different charging cords? Yes. Feeling terrible and ashamed due to the various cords you must carry in order to charge your devices? I don't know if this has been written as a kind of joke parodying infomercials or if this is bona fide. How annoying is it that your devices all have different charging cords? Feeling terrible and ashamed due to the various cords you must carry in order to charge your devices? Feeling horrible and afraid. Are they having fun with it? Well, then I won't have as much fun. If they're having fun, I mustn't have fun. If they're not having fun, I shall have some fun. Feeling horrible and afraid due to not having a power source for these various cords. Like various cords is a sentence. Becoming mangled and hearing things. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You need a Ridge Wallet. That's what they want you to think about. Thanks to Ridge Wallet, our listeners can get 10%. Thank goodness I'm not looking you in the eye, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it if I can't say percent. If I keep making huge differences in the volume of my voice. So we'll keep having to brace in case I'm about to be loud. 10%. Our listeners can get 10% off at ridge.com by using code JDFM at checkout. Despite the fact that I asked them to make the code catamaran, I guess someone over at Ridge decided they knew better. Just head to ridge.com and use code JDFM. I tell you why I don't like the code being JDFM is because I'm very happy to commercialize the James Donald Forbes McCann catamaran plan, catamaran ho, the point of which is to get me a boat, but I am not happy to commercialize myself. In the labor of an artistic ideal, we may commercialize it. Don't bring my acronym into it. Ridge Wallet. I said it was to be catamaran. And yet I think if you put catamaran in to get your 10%, you won't get that discount. So even though I'm upset about it, you must put JDFM. Our listeners can. I'm not a diva. Listen, people write to me and they ask me to do commercials all the time, and I do not respond. It started up. It's a weird thing that started up. Oh yeah, we'll get to the Ridge Wallet in a moment. But it started up, and I have no. I'll avoid it for as long as I can. I've avoided it until we started having Sam Clark, you know, really working hard on the podcast, bringing you a pristine visual element. And it's a sacrifice that I've been happy to make. And frankly, early on, it wasn't a sacrifice. It was just no one wished to advertise on the James Donald Forbes McCann catamaran plan. And that's fine, too. You know, I am in spirit a free marketeer. Advertising, wonderful. Let it flourish. But in practice, I find it icky and bad. I don't like doing it. Okay. I don't know what that is. It's a tension within me. You've always told me I was being ironic with my conservatism. I'm disgusted by commercializing. I am disgusted by it. It disgusts me. When I'm partaking of it, it disgusts me. Our listeners can get 10% off at ridge.com using code JDFM at checkout, which stands for just do it. Do it. It's not a D, is it? Just do. Friendly money. JDFM at checkout. Just head to ridge.com and use code JDFM and you're all set. Ridge is... I'm not allowed to... Our listeners can get 10% off at ridge.com by using code JDFM at checkout. Just head to ridge.com and use code JDFM and you're all set. Ridge's 5-in-1 travel power bank has built-in cords and lets you charge all your devices at the same time with just one power bank and no extra cords. MagSafe wireless charging, Apple Watch charger, lightning and USB-C, 20 watts of power, 10,000 milliamp hours capacity. Like everything Ridge makes, it's built to last. With free shipping, a 99-day risk-free trial, and a lifetime warranty. One thing to pack, five ways to power. You can find Ridge's power bank at Best Buy, or listeners can get 10% off at ridge.com by using code JDFM at checkout. Head to ridge.com and use code JDFM. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. You know, I took a little time off after those commercials. I had to. I just had to. And I couldn't keep going. I had to. it's not my gift, man. It's not my commercial reading is not my gift. I'm playing chess on my phone. I was playing chess and I listened back to the podcast and I think that I thought that's not as bad as I thought it was, but those commercials, I'm uneasy. And if there's a job for Darcy going forward, if Darcy doesn't have a moral problem, if Darcy doesn't have a moral problem doing commercials, and that doesn't make him better or worse than me, I'm just saying if he doesn't, I would be open to paying Darcy a small amount of money to read the commercials. Darcy's a volunteer at the moment. Yes, we've got to figure something out for this. It's just happened so quickly that the world fell in love with Darcy, and we haven't updated the financial situation yet. Just keeping you abreast of that. I got to do commercials to keep food on Darcy's table. Darcy's waiting to get married, but he won't do it until he can, you know, until he can look his father-in-law of the future in the eye and say, "I'm going to be able to look after your little girl. Me, Darcy." Oh, baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby. I don't know. Do you know? Do any of us? In the privacy of our love, there is nothing outside of our love. I've been working on music again. I don't think any of it is very good. That's what happens when I'm on the road. When I'm alone, I just sit on the GarageBand and I make bad music, and then I put big loud drums behind it to cover up how bad it is. Drums can go quite a long way into disguising how bad the thing you've done is. Drums are the concealer. Understand? That's some real deep-ish I'm dropping on you, fam. I've been working on my poems. I don't know if they... Yes! I just finished a chess game. And I checkmated that motherfucker. Do you want to hear some poems? I'll give you some poems. I had a wonderful Uber driver last night. He used to be a butler. He's Ethiopian. We spoke about Ethiopia a great deal. And I must say I was very jazzed. Ethiopian 1960s, 70s jazzed to have him compliment me on my Ethiopian knowledge, much of which was about jazz. Somewhere. All right, here's some... What's this one? Oh, no, that's dreadful. Special sort of medicine to make love with a horse. Everybody always used to crawl around the ventilation. I liked the way that one sounded. You know what I mean? Everybody always used to crawl around the ventilation. You know what I'm saying? I did when I grew up. I thought that. I think that's the end of the poem. Everybody always used to crawl around the ventilation. Man, is that the only poem I've written? Isn't it odd that bees live in a monarchy? Well, that was a bit that never really took off. Yeah, there's a lot of bits that didn't really take off. Helmets should be banned. The ends never justify the means. Housing is not a human right, but sheltering your neighbor is an obligation. Human rights is just a fancy way of saying I have a strong opinion. Women have become more beautiful and less sexy. Chinese is not one of the top five world cuisines. By the way, it's Vietnamese, Italian, French, Tex-Mex. And Indian. Old people are too closed-minded. Paul McCartney has still got it. Everybody wants to own real estate. Not nearly as valuable as how you really feel estate. Have I already read these on the pod? A man needs about seven other men to be a man. House guests are nice, but it's good because it's good to have an audience. I don't know if I've already read that. I don't think I've read these. You can't make a star. You can only let it shine. The New York Times doesn't often use good photos. Avant-garde artists tend to have unrefined tastes when it comes to different mediums and disciplines. Old comedians and popular music, outsider artists and low-based crowdwork comics. They should play free-to-air TV and cinemas so you can watch your favorite shows in the evening with several hundred people. I'd like people to start calling me Big Dangerous. Ooh. 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 giving up comedy. I'm walking away. I'm just going to compose choral music.
Going to record and compose choral music.
I'm not even fucking around, man, baby. That's what I'm. That's who I am.
That is who I am now.
Big Dangerous.
Hello, I'm Big Dangerous, and I record choral music.
I record and compose.
I record and compose.
I record and compose choral music. Big Dangerous. Yeah, hello. My name's Big Dangerous. Yeah, I'm leading choral musician Big Dangerous. Keep it tuned to K-Rock 107.76.
Kinds of choral music, other people can only dream of my choral music compositional abilities in new directions.
Yeah, I'm leaving that behind. Hey, Ruby.
Hi.
Can you be louder so I can check it works?
Checking.
Go really big one.
Big one.
Oh, no, that works. You're just a quieter person. Yeah, Ruby's come over and we've, you know, we'll run down another 15, just 15. If we run down 15.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thanks for coming over.
You're welcome. What were you talking about before I got here?
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, good.
I was playing my new choral music.
What's choral music?
I think just voices, like a chorus.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like from the sea.
What? Yes, it's all bleached now that the climate change has come along.
I don't know, like, because coral, maybe because it has the same root, but it's parts of a whole.
Maybe call it chorale music. Oh, I'd never thought of
it. Is it community? Because coral is like a bunch of living things. Is that right, or is it a porous, hard, dead thing?
Coral.
What did you say?
My favorite, horror.
Horror.
It's a real horror show. Horror.
The way that Australians say horror is they say horror for longer.
They say horror.
They say horror. Horror.
H-O-R-A-H. Horror.
What did you say today? Oh, shower. Shower.
Share.
Share.
You gotta have a share.
You talk really silly.
I got to see Jim Jefferies last night. I was on the show and Jim Jefferies was on it. We got to have a nice conversation.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, I wish you would.
I don't really. Like, I know that I should know.
Ah, you're a bit younger.
Yeah. And I know the name and I know that if I...
What?
All right, cut it out then.
No, I'm not cutting it
out. I saw the face you made.
Well, it's just it can't be nice for anyone to have. I remember one time I didn't know who Nate Bargatze was until recently. I had found out who he was. By the time I met him, I knew who he was. I said, I recently found out about
you.
Oh,
but it was too recent.
It was too recent, and he was annoyed. So I can't imagine what that will do for you with Jim Jefferies into not yet putting a face to a name. If he's made it through the choral music, I'll be shocked.
Is he British or is his name just... Really
he's Australian.
Stupid.
He's an Aussie. Stupid. Okay. Gosh, you are just.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean
you're
stupid.
In a bad.
No. I just mean that his first name is indistinguishable from his last name.
Jim Jimson. Jim. You've just gotten off a plane, and that's difficult. And you traveled all the way across town.
When you get off a plane, do you feel dizzy and anxious in a really specific way that doesn't quite wear off till the next day?
No, I find going into the airport to be very unpleasant. But once I've made it through security, I have an incredible wave of relief.
I think I just get altitude sick or something.
Oh, that might be.
Something haunts me after the plane for a while, like physical.
Because there's ghosts up in the air.
There's ghosts on that plane.
You can feel them.
I was telling you about my pronoia. My Delta pronoia.
Optimism.
We talked about it. Not optimism.
Optimism?
Not optimism.
I was doing that before there was this podcast earlier on. I did the ad read and I couldn't say the word percent. And it was then I knew I was in deep shit.
When did you arrive in LA?
I've been here for about 3 days. I met Kanye. I saw Kanye across the room.
Did you meet him?
I did not have the heart to go up to him and go, oh. Hello.
Yeah, I think most
my friend Dan tried to take your now wife on a date once.
Yeah, and people do it to you, and you think you won't do it, but that's what you do.
Oh no, I saw Quentin Tarantino once, and I said thank you for everything. He went, hey man, yeah, all right, and just kept moving.
When I met Sarah Silverman, I said I love Jesus's magic. It inspired me to become a comedian.
Yeah.
And she said that's my special that didn't really age that well. And I said, it inspired me to become a comedian. I have to go. And then I went and sat in the car and I cried and I called my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you've got to have people you can call. I would not call my mum. I love mum.
Yeah, you don't have that.
I don't.
I'm sorry.
Hmm? No, we don't. We just don't have a relationship where I would go to her with my
crime. A motherly relationship.
No.
I stand by. I'm sorry.
I have. I think a man should cry to his wife. A man should go to his wife for his crying.
Yeah, you might be right. I see. I understand that.
I have a. I would sometimes. It's probably kept me safe, you know, because I would think about like if I got into a car accident and I was lying in the hospital, and I would. My fear would be that if I was crippled, you know, my mum would come in and rather than going, "Oh, my poor boy, sweet boy," she'd go, You were driving fast at night. I told you to get those tires checked. You didn't." And it would be the coupling of the crippling and the disappointment that I believe has actually kept me safe and healthy throughout my life. Her technique paid dividends. I don't think with my personality type, if I was a marijuana person, I would have gotten a damn thing done. I've never smoked a joint because my mother kind of lied. And said I was extremely disposed to schizophrenia because of brain trauma and history in the family. Now,
what
as it turns out,
brain trauma.
Well, I was dropped on my head as a child. It doesn't seem as though there was necessarily brain trauma, but I fractured my skull, and baby skulls apparently just fracture real easy. So I've got a huge scar on the side of my head. That one is closer to being possible. That one is closer to being possible,
it's just
and
the way.
Really explaining some shit.
There wasn't necessarily brain trauma.
Could a man with brain trauma say not necessarily brain trauma? And the other one was it's questionable. There was a member of the family who was put into a sanitarium. It's unclear if that was just a little postnatal depression or fully fledged crazy town.
Was it a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, no way to ever know.
Sanitarium. One of them's a bread
auditorium.
Brand. Auditorium. The DeLulu shop. We say DeLulu. Do you say DeLulu over here? Is that an Australian?
Yeah, we
thing?
Talked about DeLulu. This. You thought it was uniquely Australian, but it's from black teenagers, just like everything.
What about calling each other the N-word in a smiling and friendly fashion?
Black
Did we
teenagers.
Make that up too? Damn! What about throwing dice on the corner with my shorty drinking a 40?
I'm going to tell you right now, it's all black teenagers.
Damn!
Yeah.
Boomerangs? No, we
no,
don't do that.
Guys.
We don't actually do that. We, far out. No, it's so much nicer doing the podcast with a person. I was very, there was some DeLulu type activities on the I've started saying delusional instead of psychotic because a delusion is a form of psychosis.
Is
it? Doesn't
it?
Sound, yeah.
Which form?
I think to be psychotic is just to have lost touch with reality.
Okay.
In an observable capacity.
Okay.
Even,
and then the delusion is like the new reality that you've created?
I think a delusion is it's a strand. It's a kind of psychosis.
It's one of the realities that you've created that is different.
It's when there's a proper definition. I'm going to get it wrong, but it's something like even when presented with good evidence, you won't take it on board. That's a delusion.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then you could call lots of people delusional, I guess.
Oh, yeah. There's a very low bar.
Yeah.
And I guess one is, I mean, it's really in the eye of beholder.
But what's the difference between obstinance and delusion?
Well, I think one's got a lot more points on Scrabble. I think, I don't,
That's so
I think maybe it's how one is viewed in oneself to be obstinate, you know, not to take no for an answer, to be stubborn. I mean, some of it can only be proven in hindsight. If I hadn't made it to America and started doing comedy in a serious way, you know, if 3 years ago I'd run around telling people, I'm gonna be on the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
People would have said, he's
You're
delusional.
Delulu.
And
it
was true, but it still would have been delusional for me to have believed that.
Because you would have been at that point presented with a lot of evidence that probably wouldn't be the case. But you were never presented with evidence that it definitely wouldn't be. So I don't think you would have been delusional. I think you would have been pronoid.
I fear pronoid, a term I love. I seem to remember being told I wouldn't make it. by like my peers at various times. Then you just have a conversation and someone like, and I, but I don't know any time that it actually happened, or if I have through just watching lots of movies and reading lots of books, like no one ever sat me down and went, kid, you're never going to make it in this town. It never happened. But I have the incredible sense.
That's the mom.
I have a, that's my delusion, is that I think that happened.
That you think that people were out to get you and didn't believe in you?
No, people were out to get me. But the delusion is that they told me about it. People were 100% out to get me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also just have had no, oh my goodness, the lady who run the comedy festival that never got around me. I never met her. She may never have even known about my comedy. I might have been so insignificant as to not register.
When she got fired.
She finally resigned. She'd been there for years and years and years. No, she didn't get fired because of what I said about her. She decided to walk away.
Because you said she was a whore who didn't believe in you.
That's not true.
To Joe Rogan.
That's, I never
and then
said.
He pressed a button and she was fired out of a cannon.
It's the secret power that Trump has given him. When he was in the office.
He can fire women out of cannons.
That's what you're fired has meant this whole time.
That's a Futurama joke.
You're going to get up and do, yeah, this is not bad. Yeah. You're gonna do the, you're going to do my show?
Yeah.
And you're gonna we're going to go and see Louis tonight? That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Adam's going to take us.
Sweet Adam. We're actually going to get an Uber, but he's going to come here and park the car.
Oh, great.
Because he didn't want to park there.
I get it.
And some very exciting people. Some very exciting people get to come over.
Finally, you, me, Adam, and an Australian band all together in LA.
Well, have you ever, do you know, I think Faux Reel are coming. That's very exciting for me.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Friends of the show.
You'll have to play
Alex Cameron. Alex Cameron, who has some of my favorite ever song lyrics by anybody ever.
Yeah.
Kieran J. Kellen and Sadly's in Chicago, but he's coming back in a few days. But these
is
are
that,
the cool.
Is that a lyric?
These are, to me, these are the
tell
coolest
the
musicians ever to me who are alive.
Tell me a lyric. But
I feel like Marlon Brando circa 1999. Do you know that one?
No.
He goes, come on, little darling. You're doing, I ain't fine. You tell that little faggot, call me faggot one more time. Anyway, that's a good one of his. He's got great ones.
I like that last one because it could be pro or anti.
Eating your ass like an oyster. That's one of his.
Really?
And then he sold little oyster badges.
The song that you showed me, Kotori Ongaku. The lyrics in that song go so hard.
Do they?
Have you heard the lyrics yet?
Not really.
So good.
Getting too late. I just
to tell if it's too soon.
What's it about? What's Devendra saying? What's heterosexual Devendra saying?
He's doing like a, I don't know, I looked up the thing because he's doing like a homage to a guy. Gokuri Ungaku means country music.
Yes, but not really.
But not really.
It's a Japanese, it's like Google translated, but that's not the term. They say country music. Country music. But he said, now there's a hair on that. Is that one of my beard hairs on the microphone? It's killing me. It's killing me. I'm sorry. There you go. Might have been one of your hairs.
Oh, it's really in there.
Yeah. Ask no questions. I shall tell no lies. Everybody wants to hear my choral music.
He says, the future is getting made.
Future's getting
right
made.
Right here in this room.
Does he have a thing about Wi-Fi flowing in that song?
Yeah,
that song?
Yeah. That's my favorite. That's what I was trying to get to, is that there's so much. He's like, the Wi-Fi flows like wine. He's like talking about how there how much Wi-Fi there is in his house. And then he's talking about how like so many people have died recently that it's really easy to just order stuff to my house, which like has all these interesting implications.
That's all the love that some of us know.
No, that's all the love we know.
I listen to songs and I get none. It takes me about 30 listens to understand what the words are.
That's crazy to me because I thought that that's something that you understand. Because for me, that's what I understand like second. And I don't get any of the, I know that you can like hear the little individual flute track. Like you have like schizophrenia and you can like.
Ears. We call them ears.
Vague cello. Yeah, I don't have that.
That is maybe one of my, that's one of my least pleasant driving in the car attributes, as well as the speeding, honking, and the threatening to kill strangers and the changing songs all the time, is they're going, listen to the flute. You hear the flute? Go back. Listen to it again. You can hear the flute.
And I can't. And I don't know what you're talking about.
Give me one moment. Excuse me. I've taken the call now. Adam will be here at 7, by the way. So we can actually have a nice walk before then.
Great.
And we can order some dinner.
Yes, yeah, sweet.
Wouldn't that be nice? What would you like to eat? I've been eating like a pig.
You've been eating like a pig? Is that what you said?
I'm back on gluten, but then I'm back off gluten again. It made my... Going back on gluten wasn't so bad, but it did make me feel like my hands had swollen up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I feel like maybe your whole body is swollen up, but you could just feel it in your hands. No, I'm sorry. Not that I've noticed that, but if your hands are swollen, probably the rest of you is too.
Okay, all right.
Not that I'm a doctor or anything.
I'll go for my walk.
If I'm all swollen, I'm going to notice it in my hands first.
Sure. Oh, you're saying inflammation?
Yeah, what it...
There was an album by a band that I never heard of before or since, but I listened to that album because I saw them on Letterman, and the album was called Mama, I'm Swollen. And they had a great song called From Our Hips, I think it was, and they did a great show on Letterman, and Letterman loved that the album was called Mama, I'm Swollen.
Yeah.
Nothing happened after that, but it's like an incredible... Like a great Letterman performance. And the band plays. I love it when like a rock band has the horn section do something. Because there's a whole fucking band there on Letterman, you know?
Have you ever read transcripts of Letterman without watching the actual video?
No, what must that be like?
Insane gibberish.
Boom.
Just non sequitur.
What is it? Do you have an example?
Oh, God.
That's Spider-Man.
It feels like you'll be like having a normal conversation with someone and then just... Whoa, mama. That's what I call taking it easy. And then she's gone. Where'd she go, you know?
The man, by the end, you know, like Michael Jackson, he would say tee-hee and Shimona.
Was there and a does he
hee-hee? Whatever he would do. I was trying to describe it without doing it. But then I did it by accident. It was too powerful.
Yeah.
But by the end, you hear some of the songs at the end, and it's like, oh, it's just the tricks. There's a lot of the tricks in here. I was watching Letterman by the tricks. He, you know, early on, he's not going hee-hee and Shimona and, you know,
no, all you that can't, stuff. You can't be doing that out the gate.
But towards the end, Letterman, it was a lot of the bass guitar going up and down, and a lot of him going, wow, I'll take all of that you got. How about that? Mm.
Do you think
repetitions were the favorite. He wore a hat. Hat. Paul, did you ever wear a hat? Yeah, I did, Dave. Oh, I did wear a hat.
Do you think that Michael Jackson, if he was, everybody was saying you're a pedophile when he was alive, if it would have stuck, but because he's dead, it was too much for people to handle
saying?
For him to be dead
you're
and
so
a pedophile.
Young. You're so young.
I remember when he died, I was sitting in front of the television.
When he was alive, people were calling him a pedophile. It was like...
Oh, I guess they wouldn't have told
me that. 15 to 20 straight years. Every cover of every magazine was Wacko Jacko sleeps in the bed with kids. Ruby, he was on trial.
Was he really?
Faced trial.
He was on trial?
He was on trial and weird shit came out about his house. Like there were rooms that you could only lock from one side.
Yeah.
But the black community stayed with him. Steve Harvey stayed with him. Eddie Griffin stayed with him. But he was also doing weird shit at the trial. And you can watch Eddie Griffin talking about it going... I went to the trial with Michael. I said, Michael, why are you wearing pajamas at your sex abuse trial? Michael. Michael got up on the roof of a car and started dancing for the crowd on his way into court. Michael, you can't be in the bed with these white kids. No, it's
well,
great.
I am young, yeah.
The defenses that people will run on Michael... unbelievable.
No, they're literally, I like him. Don't talk about him. I love him. They're like, yeah, I get what you're saying, that he slept with kids and that they all say that they molested him and all that and he has a house with secret sex dungeons, but I like the way he danced.
Chappelle was doing a bit about, they drew his penis, these kids, drew it while he was asleep. Michael was asleep. How could he stop them drawing his penis? It's like, what are we talking about? There's no way for a strange child to draw my penis. The opportunity would never arise.
No.
I think Michael was asexual.
Calling it an opportunity was an interesting slip.
No, it wasn't a slip. I said it on purpose.
Big opportunity.
All the kids looking for the golden ticket to draw my penis. We're all having a bit of fun. We're all having a fun time. Opportunity. All right. Opportunity wasn't the best. Opportunity wasn't my best. Thank goodness it's buried at minute 40 of the podcast. Tell the listeners what's you. Yeah. So you quit comedy. I think last time you were on, you had quit.
Last time I was on, I was on quit. I had quit. I was off camera. Is there a camera on me?
There's not a camera on you. Sam Clark is maybe going to do some sort of visual. I've asked and he hasn't responded, but some sort of I thought he could just film an empty chair or something.
That'd be cool.
Perhaps for this part of the podcast, there could be a second empty chair.
That'd be awesome.
And there's two chairs.
Going back and forth.
He doesn't have a lot of time to do it, so he'd have to pivot with the lens from one to the other. Sam, if you're listening, those are my feelings.
Those are my parameters. That's, I insist.
That's what I believe in. And then you got back into comedy and you were a success immediately again. So yeah, well done.
Thanks.
Proud of you.
Thank you. I'm worse.
You're worse at comedy?
Worse.
Oh, you're mentally worse now. You're mentally worse now. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the...
It's the wheel you break yourself on. It's the thing you choose. All magic comes with a price. Nothing is easy.
Some things are very easy.
Nothing is easy.
No,
nothing good is also easy.
What about eating an ice cream?
No. It makes you swollen.
Makes something? Yes, it does. I get very excited by the ice creams. We are going to go for a beautiful walk, 7 p.m. until traffic. We're gonna order Uber Eats. We're going to have a nice meal. We're going to go for a walk.
We'll walk to the meal.
Probably. This neighborhood that we're in.
Impossible to walk to any meal.
Impossible to walk to any meal.
No matter what.
Oh, no.
Really?
No. No.
This is yet. Near where...
Big edit. Big edit point. Strong edit point. Bold edit point.
Yeah, you know. Well, you're back. You're back doing comedy. You probably there know all about that. I've already said it.
I think it's odd that we're both doing this. We're both sort of... we both took some time off and we're both coming back and you're getting so many dings.
Sorry, so sorry.
You don't have to worry about the dings. It's nice to be dung.
Well, how good is it to come back?
It's good to come back and it's good to go away. You got to go away to come back. You got to come back to go away.
And it's always sad no matter what you do.
You know, I wonder if that's not a good ideology for us.
You think that, I'm sorry.
No, I like to force
optimism on myself. I shouldn't be the one deciding
myself.
The ideology for us. That
I like
should
to
be
force,
your job.
Force optimism, and this is a problem. It works when people don't know me well. And then after they've known me a little bit, they go, James, you just loudly say things like, it's going to be all right, or this is great.
You do say that.
I think that's a compulsion that I have.
It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right, Ruby. I'm proud of you.
And I mean it. I mean it when I say it. And I mean it when I say it.
I know you do. If you didn't mean it and you were yelling,
yeah.
That'd be crazy.
a guy, Sam Campbell, who's in town as
yell
well.
Yell a lie.
No, well, he said, when I first met you, you said, it moved me.
What did I say that about?
No, sorry. Sam Campbell said this about me. He said, when we were first hanging out, I saw something. I said, oh, that moved me.
Yeah.
I'm moved by that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, then we hung out for a few days. You must have said... 8 or 9 things moved you. The sunset moved you. The breeze. Yeah. The dinner we ate moved you. The softness of a pillow.
The new way that I think of the personality is that it's an open window that goes, that it, so stuff gets in and stuff gets out, and there's no possible way to ever close it.
You can put up a big fight.
What do you mean?
You can try to close that
window. You can't. There's no possible way.
No, we have free will. We have choice.
No, we do, but I just mean that like that's the temperament though, is that like
yeah.
All external stimuli is absorbed. Everything gets in. And everything you feel about what got in gets out. Like everybody can see everything you feel at any given moment. It's awful. I mean, it's also beautiful.
Some people aren't like that.
But I know.
Yeah. You think you have a sanguine disposition?
No, I don't. No, I didn't mean that type of temperament.
I see.
But whatever, yeah.
You said you're...
We're similar in ways.
Oh, no, I know.
I don't think I'm sanguine. I think I'm choleric and I feel really bad about it. I think it's the worst one by far. And you look at all the descriptions of all of them and they're like, you're good, kind to people. Like when you look at all the pros of all of them and then you get to choleric and it's like, you...
you destroy everybody in business. You're the biggest businessman. You destroy worlds.
If you replaced business with comedy, you'd be like, yeah.
No.
I am.
No.
I'm getting it done out there.
But then other clerics, I don't like them.
Clerics also get everything done.
I don't get everything
done.
And are
wealth creators. You get so much done. You're a doer.
I am a doer. But so are you.
I'm agentic.
You're what?
Agentic. It's a word my friend Madeline told me. Agentic.
I thought you said, I'm an aging dick. Is your optimism gone?
It's odd. The content of what he's saying has drastically changed, but the tone has remained the same.
Rosy cheek.
It's like the coyote running off the cliff. He's about to fall down.
At night when you were walking to LA?
I actually did see a coyote last night.
Yeah.
My Uber driver, an Ethiopian butler.
Why do you say butler? Because he was driving you around.
Well, he told me all about how he had been a butler, but that his family had had a change in their situation in life.
Oh.
And they said, oh, he said, they just got older. I thought they'd lost all their money.
Yeah.
But they'd just gotten older. But he was the butler to this family.
Wow.
And now he drives Uber. But he was like, he came around and opened the door for me. We spoke about Ethiopian jazz and Halel Selassie. And he was a hell of a guy. Now, you can answer that and put that
on the... It's not a phone call.
What is it?
It's my alarm for 5:30.
What happened? Oh.
Every day at 5:30, I get really sad. So I have an alarm to remind me that it's just 5:30.
Are you being serious?
Yes.
Do you think if you went to a different time zone that would happen there?
It's the sun going down.
Really?
Yeah.
I get it in the mid-afternoon. That's where I usually have my most desperate. There's a word for it. The noonday devil. There's a better word. Aphasia. I'm going to get it wrong. Someone will know. But yeah, that's my sad hour. But your sun going down is bad for you. That transition.
I wonder if it's... And I've wondered about this because I've only noticed it in recent years. So it's impossible. I cannot tell you how long it's been happening. And I wonder... Because I've been doing stand-up since I was a kid. And I wonder if it's show dread. It happens whether or not I have a
when
show.
When did you start?
17 or
17. I started at 17 as well. 18, yeah, I wonder if the body gets, the body keeps score.
The body keeps the score.
Yeah, I'm bad from about lunchtime on the, for a show. You're not even doing a show tonight.
That's the point that I'm making. I think it's just Pavlovian.
Matter. Yeah.
Yeah, because I started doing stand-up so young that my body, when the sun goes down, is like, you're going to fail in front of... you have to. It's your job now to impress.
Fight and fly it. Yeah. Well, I mean, how good, though? How good that the body has... You know, like you watch male tennis players.
The body
players?
Has kept the score.
The body's kept the score. Thank God the body keeps score because we're running up the numbers. That's not bad. My body keeps score and I'm running up the numbers. If you watch it, so male tennis players, the big way that I find them to be different to the lady tennis players is not only the genital, but their arm. Like if they're a one hand, like Roger Federer had one Frankenstein arm, huge Popeye forearm, and one normal arm because he had a one-handed backhand. So it was all on that arm, you know? And it's like, on the one hand, you go, that's a deformity.
Yeah.
That motherfucker's deformed.
You're lopsided.
But also, it allows him to do all the stuff that he does. And you have this thing where you're broken and you start to panic at five. And it means that probably more shows are good for having that panic state. I mean, what a terrible thing to live with for having a 10, 15% chance of being better on the night with the drama.
10, 15. I know.
Sam J took me aside last night and gave me a...
this is how you talk about being a lesbian.
Hey, I heard you've been talking about being a lesbian, and I wasn't happy with the
you're
way
doing
you
it wrong.
Doing it. Your black, she said, James, your black lesbian material is stepping on me. I said, don't trip. No, she gave me a tequila, and she said, that's all you can do now. And that's also when I got a text from you.
No, what did I say?
Saying nice, just like, well, you sent back nice things that I had sent to you about.
Oh, yeah.
Just
and
like,
the nice
just go
things
and do
from
it and
me.
Have fun.
And yeah, my yeah, you favorite sent nice things from you.
But it was really, it was a nice moment. And it bought me the 2 minutes of calm I needed to go out and be okay. Also, the tequila and the nice messages.
Good.
And also the years of practice, but mostly the tequila and the nice messages. And also it was nice going out first because I had the added bonus of being able to go.
Enjoy the show.
the rest of the show is more enjoyable. But when you're on first, you get to come out and you get to do something that if anyone else does it, they seem psychotic. Yeah. You get to go, Los Angeles, California, ah! The Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. I think pretty good for a pod. Oh, is that doing both of us? Can you say something?
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we should order that food. Get a wriggle on. Because we've almost, that's almost an hour.
You've almost spent an hour.
Hmm?
My mom knit me a hat and she wanted to give it to me before I left for Alpharetta a few weeks ago. And she called me in the morning at 5 a.m. before my flight. And she said, I knit your hat. Do you want me to come bring it to you before you fly away? And I said, no, it's too late. And then, but thank you. And then she hung up. And then she called me and we were on the highway. And she was like, I'm at your house with the hat. Have you left already? And I said, yeah, I'm on the highway. She's like, should I meet you at the airport? And I said, no.
This is a great hat. This is the opposite of me trying to give you that shirt my wife bought you.
I know. You refused to give
me
the shirt.
You got the shirt? I said, it's very soon.
That's not what you said, actually. Because the second time I said, did you get the shirt? And you said, the shirt. And I said, yeah, did you get me the shirt? And he said, and you said, did I get you a shirt? And I said, yeah, James, did you remember to bring me the shirt? And you were like, oh yeah.
I think this is something we.
Get you a shirt.
Well, it slips sometimes. Sometimes I am to you. Yeah, you have it as well. You have diva-ish, fuck you, get out of my way behavior as well. And I think
I bring you a shirt.
I think we're better. I think because we both have that in us, we are better at not eliciting it out of the other person. But I will say, I do it to Eve all the time, and I know you do it to Eve. I don't want to make Eve our punching bag.
I do it to Eve?
Well, Eve says you do it to her, and I definitely have times where I go, Eve, enough! And she laughs. She has a good time. I get very sensitive when people are nasty to me like that.
Yeah.
And yet I am myself extraordinarily nasty.
Sensitive and insensitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a real dish it
Me
out,
too.
Can't take it.
It's awful.
I am so unpleasant at the start. I'm going to leave it in, but I go into a maniacal place, and I hope people think it's a character.
Oh, about what?
I did a read.
Okay.
So even as I hit this table with my nails.
Yeah.
I did a read for a commercial, and I want the code to be Catamaran, but they made it JDFM, and I was angry that they were commercializing my name rather than my show, which is an art piece about commercialization. And I got really upset on my own in this house. It's very good that you've come, because we were in, wow, once we got to the choral music stage of the podcast, we were in real trouble.
Choral music.
It's always a sign that the podcast has gone bad. Oh, I love Los Angeles. I love it.
You said that I should move here, though. You said I should move. If I should move somewhere,
what the fuck do I know?
But you said I should go to New York. It's beautiful here.
It's so beautiful.
And you can do sets, and it has the feeling like the coast is around you, so you can escape when the water wars come.
California, here we come.
California. Okay, yeah, and pro. Can I give you another pro?
Mm-hmm.
Red Hot Chili Peppers are unlistenable anywhere else.
That's 100% bullshit.
Unlistenable.
State of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie.
Yeah, they turned that on in Ohio.
All around the world.
Panic attack.
All around the world. They can make time rumping and a stumping because they're in their prime. I love that song so much. That would be one of my top 10 songs of all time, is Around the World by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. Pop, 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 pop. It's the one
but
where he
rumpin
goes.
Rumpin' and a stumpin' feels like that's he was waiting.
It's the one where he says, "If I never, Ruby is of an age." You've never heard the ning nang nong nong ning nang bit?
No. You have lots of racist bits about Asian people.
It's a song called. It was all around the world. We can make it's. He sings the song, and the first two times around, he sings the chorus where he goes, I know, it's true. You say hello and then I say I do. Or whatever nonsense that he's saying.
Yeah.
But the next time he does the chorus, he goes, I know it's true. Ning, nang, nong, nong, ning, nang, nong, nong, ning, nang.
You have showed me
that. It's the album opener. It's the opening track on the album. And I always want to work it. There's a couple of song lyrics I always want to work into the act. One of them is ning nang nong nong ning nang nong nong ning nang. Mm-hmm. One of them is I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket. Keep up. Which is a Bruno Mars.
I like that one.
Darkness. Someone did it last night. Someone did darkness enveloping me.
Oh, darkness.
From Metallica. Darkness. Darkness enveloping me. Dan Soda did it last night. And I thought, I've always wanted to say darkness enveloping me.
Honestly. No.
And Dan Soda, it's good parallel thinking.
He's awesome.
You never attempted to reverse engineer a song lyric into your...
Into a joke?
Yeah.
No. How?
I do it. I used to do it in between jokes a lot.
Like you take a song lyric and you try to turn it into a punchline?
No. As a non sequitur for rhythm between unrelated things, I would finish one bit and they go,
quote it.
And that's the way the thing went.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mr. Cacciatore! Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be here with you all night.
I'm going
to
end my next set with, and Mama, I'm moving out.
I started coming out to that. It's unbelievably...
Recently?
Yeah, in San Diego.
I just pulled that out of my butt.
Well, I said Mr. Cacciatore.
Oh, right.
I know you thought you had just thought of that randomly, but by saying Mr. Cacciatore, I had implanted Anthony's song.
You really had. Yeah.
That's what I'll do for the audience as well. Mr. Cacciatore!
There's on her in the street. What street does she live in?
I listened to Scenes from an Italian Restaurant for the first time through. You know that song?
You've never gotten all the way through.
I just thought the whole fucking song was a waiter doing the wine menu. I thought it was 8 minutes, and I listened to like a minute. A bottle of red, a bottle of white.
That's enough of that.
Have a rosé or aperitif tonight. I was like, that's a slog. Everyone says this is great. I think I made it to the saxophone solo. I was like, nah, yeah. Sorry. And then I fell asleep in the car while we were driving.
Yeah.
And Fuzzy loves Billy Joel, I found out.
Oh.
And I woke up like halfway through the song, and it was that. I don't even remember how it goes. I've only heard it like 4 times because I made them play it over and over again. But I loved it. This like.
You made them play it 4 times.
I said, go back to that bit.
Which one?
Where he's like. Ba-da-da-da-da-do-da-da-dee-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know this?
No.
Brendan and someone were going a steady.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow 75. Bow, bow. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, yeah.
Be-ba-ba-do-dee-dee-dee-dee. Ba-ba-dee-dee-da-ba-do-da-dee-dee.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And that's what you get for a wife. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a... Oh, for life. Oh, and he goes, oh, 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 and it was that point I woke up and I went, this, I never knew it was in there. I never knew it was in there. There's a secret behind the door.
Restaurant.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how good
I didn't
that
even
is.
Know that was the same song.
It's the same
until
song.
Until you said it, yeah.
I said, this is Bohemian Rhapsody for Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it is?
It's like when a really good book has a bad cover.
Man. You know what it made me think of?
What?
Do you know the song Liquid Swords?
No.
It's one of the best post-Wu-Tang Clan singles. And the Wu-Tang Clan would always play weird outtakes from Chinese kung fu movies beforehand. And it's a full 90 seconds of a little girl describing her father being brutally killed. And then you hear like a woman weeping while something fucking awful. It's like the most unlistenable 90 seconds ever. The samurai came for my father. Oh! Oh! It's all these terrible noises.
You ever sort of wish that the gift that God gave you was to be a musician?
A musician? Yeah.
That seems easier to me. You could be artsier and weirder. And I think you get called faggot less, which is weirder because it's less theatrical. Comedy.
And people would be so impressed every time you said something funny. They'd be like, and funny too.
And he's funny. Oh my God, I would love to be and she's funny.
And she's funny.
In addition, but it's just, yeah, she's funny. That's about it. That's about it.
Not true.
Yeah.
Ruby, I think if you started wearing really unusual clothes, mm-hmm. you could be a style icon.
Hmm. I already do kind of wear unusual. I don't know how to dress because I've been dressing like a girl and I don't know how to do it.
That is new for you. You're in a better place and so you're feminined up.
Yeah.
Congratulations. When I get to a good place, I think I got to a better place and I went butch.
When? Oh, yeah, because you were 20s. Dressing like a nun and then you met your beautiful
Come
wife.
Come on now.
You told me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Sorry.
Not out and about.
Oh, I'm
just
so
on stage.
Sorry.
No, people can look it up. It was a great show. Nunopoly.
I'm sorry if I thought
Nun Monopoly.
You
Nunopoly
that about
2.
Yourself.
Mo Nun Monopoly. Or Nunopoly 1. How to play winning Monopoly and live a fulfilling life in Christ. And boy, did that divide audiences.
Yeah.
I had a Waiting My Moustache, which was a show about hoping. I thought I'd write a whole show about hoping my facial hair would come in. It mm-hmm. hadn't come in by that point. I was like 18, 19. Mm. And but then the show wasn't about that at all.
Yeah,
it was just it was every bit that I'd written up until that point. Yeah. What else did I? McCandle in the Wind. I did that one. I did.
You
yes,
could write, you could write one called McCandonment.
McCandonment. I don't remember what all the shows were called because they were ridiculous, pointless names of just what I had that year.
It was stand-up.
Stand-up with a little story. But I was writing new hours. I wrote like 5 hours. I wouldn't remember one of those jokes now.
Is it recorded somewhere?
I did Aussie and Proud. I got a recording of Aussie and Proud, which was meant to be about... I would always like come up with the title and then write a different show.
Yeah.
And then I wrote... I tried to fix that show. I wrote a show about... Oh, man. It's all shit. I didn't record any of them. It's probably for the best.
You didn't record
I got like bad recordings.
No,
of them.
I bet
I got really bad recordings.
I used to sit and make yourself sit and listen. I would sit with you and listen to them to find the stuff that you're leaving behind.
It's so hard with a showy show to pull bits out and have them work independent of the showy show.
Oh, you're saying showy show like Edinburgh. Like
yeah, it was all Edinburgh-y shows. Adelaide. I'm going to make Adelaide what people say instead of Edinburgh. It was very Adelaide.
Yeah, it was very Adelaide. Mm. That's what I was going to say. I don't know why.
And you
just came to me.
Still going city and the song was having a fire.
And that's what you get for a wife. What did he mean by that?
I don't know that that's even the lyric.
It is.
But it's the one that stayed with you.
That's what you get for a wife. I can remember.
I don't think he says that's what you get for a wife.
It is. It's because you chose wrong. You chose wrong, so that's what you get.
I don't even think they chose wrong in that song. I think they...
What kind of fun wife?
I don't think they were...
Wife.
I think they spent all their fucking money on a waterbed. There's a waterbed reference in that song, and all I could think was that scenes from an Italian restaurant. Where have all the waterbeds gone?
Oh, it's showing me all Billy Joel's wives.
Has he had multiple wives?
No, it's just showing me women.
Has he had one wife? I bet Billy Joel. I wonder.
And that's what you get for a wife. What is the name of that song? Italian restaurant?
Something about an Italian restaurant. I realized I met Oliver Tree last night. I don't know if you know Oliver Tree.
No.
It goes on and on and on and on and on and... Do you know that?
On and on and on. Yeah.
And
GMT.
And yeah, I never want to see you. But I also realized that I met someone from a song that I like. I met Andy Milanakis, who I know several songs by. And I would have said thank you if I'd known it was that person. But I didn't know. You know what I mean? I just didn't know. I think Andy Milanakis might have come up with Pussy 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 Marijuana, which I say all the time. But I think that might be a direct quote. Anyway, they were nice people. But again, Oliver Tree, great musician, is so funny that people go, wow, funny.
Wow, funny.
No one goes, wow, funny with me. They go, that's your fucking job.
Yeah, you better be.
And it doesn't work the other way, sadly, because people also do not go, wow, the music's great. They go, keep that to yourself.
Okay, it doesn't say wife in this song in the way that I thought, but to my point, he does rhyme the word life with life 4 times.
His rhymes do frustrate me, and I mentioned that in the car, and I could tell Fuzzy turned a little bit. But I was like, he's very like, cry, die, goodbye, why? Yeah. His rhymes are kind of...
And Fuzzy's
it was like,
coldened on you.
I felt the freeze come into the automobile when
that's
I was
his
like,
alter ego, Freezy.
It's something like his. One of the lines in that song is like, "Someone's a someone, you're crazy, Eddie, you're much too lazy."
Yeah, yeah.
It's like why they can't get married.
Sears,
and the line
years.
Is like, "Because you're too lazy." It's like no one's ever said, "Don't get married, you're too lazy." No one's ever said that.
Yeah,
no one ever would. It's like when people rhyme like health, like people are like got to look after your health. In a song so that they can have a wealth rhyme or stealth.
Because do is pick up the beat. Sorry, say what you said again.
Can you see what the crazy line is? Because it's lazy. It's when he says lazy. But what's the full? It just struck me as I was listening to it. I was like, I love this song. I'm having a beautiful experience. I'm pretty sure that's not a good lyric.
Everyone said they were crazy. Brenda, you know that you're much too lazy. And Eddie could never afford to live that kind of life.
Could never afford to live that kind of life is great.
Yeah.
But does that rhyme with life? No, wife, surely.
Brenda, you know that you're much too lazy. And Eddie, well, in addition, with the additional context, Eddie, you could never afford to live that kind of life. There is the implication that Brenda is meant to be a hardworking housewife and that Eddie is supposed to pay for it. And so her being lazy would get in the way of
it
that.
It would get in the way. It's not how I imagine that information being conveyed. I will say a great lyric in Anthony's song, Moving Out, which if I can remember. Oh, I'm going to get it wrong. But his medical center. He says medical center in a way that I found very evocative. Cacciatore. Mr. Cacciatore. I love saying it. Mr. Cacciatore.
I wish that you would read Steinbeck so that I could talk about Steinbeck with you, because I think you'd love it if you gave it a
Well, name. You'll have to talk about it with Shane, because I was meant to read it 2 years ago and I haven't gotten around to it. Sergeant O'Leary is... He goes, Sergeant O'Leary
is... Mr. Cacciatore reminded me of Steinbeck because... Yeah, because Steinbeck always has like an Asian man who owns a shop in all of his books.
It's just a... I got to read it. I can't make a joke about it because I haven't read it. I just want to say this. It's Sullivan Street. And I looked it up and it's not a real place. Oh. Mr. Cacciatore is... Sergeant O'Leary is walking the beat. At night, he becomes a bartender. He works at Mr. Cacciatore's down on Sullivan Street across from the medical center. And I could so see in America a sad medical center opposite a bar.
Yeah.
Medical center. Not a hospital.
Yeah.
Medical center. It really stayed with me. It's something. And then, of course, I think
he breaks
his back or something.
Yeah.
If he can't drive with a broken back... It comes out of nowhere. When does he break his back?
Does it say how he breaks his back?
No. He's across from the medical center. He's trading in his Chevy for a Cadillac. You ought to know by now. And if he can't drive with a broken back, it just skips the breaking the back. He was working as a bartender at Mr. Cacciatore's, and now he's got a broken back.
Does he just mean that he's old? Or does he mean that he's a... Does breaking your back kills you?